ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. We come here once a week to discuss nothing but prophecy for a couple hours. So, buckle up and come on over, join the chat room. I'm watching the YouTube chat room on First Amendment Radio and the chat room at First Amendment Radio. And I can also see on my other screen over here the Rumble chat room. So join us. Comments, questions, you can text me at the number here on the screen, as you can see, or call me at the same number. We're not using the old number to call in anymore. So we've got it all wired in. It all sounds great. So Fireman Mike, if you're listening, give the new number a chance there, and you can give me a report on how much better it works than the old one. At least it works better here than everywhere else. Okay, well, what are we talking about today? Last week, I offered a challenge to Jack Hibbs, but I just have a feeling that he may never even see my challenge. So I don't know if anybody out there listening knows Jack Hibbs or not, but I would like him to answer the challenge. The problem with all of these pre-tribulation rapture resurrection believers, and I have to say all that because they go, oh, you don't believe in the rapture, it's in the Bible. Yes, I believe what's in the Bible. I just don't believe the redefinition of the word rapture to mean another pre-tribulation resurrection. Okay, because that would mean that there would be three resurrections instead of the two that are explicitly expressed in the Bible. Go read chapter 20 of the Revelation, and you'll see it says, this is the first resurrection. And that ain't the pre-trib rapture resurrection. It's the one that happens when Christ returns and all of his saints join him, meet him in the air so they can return with him. Good to see you over there, ALW in the chat room. And we have a taker on the call here. We will accept that. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Furman, Mike. Let me mute this. Okay. I put in the chat that I didn't see the new number, but then I blew up the video box and I saw it.
Right.
So I was just calling to check out the new number, and it sounds a lot clearer.
Oh, yeah, it does. And you sound a lot clearer, too. So this is much, much better. Finally figured it out.
Okay. It looks like Darkesia didn't see the new number either. I'll put it in the chat for him.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't see it till I blew up the video.
Yeah, I realize I still have the number, the old number on the website and the chat room there, so I'm going to have to change all that. But there it is. It's right on the screen, right below my chin. So any other comments or questions?
Nope, not so far. Carry on, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for the sound check. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad it's better. Okay, I'll let you go.
All right, bye. Okay, well, there it is. The call quality was excellent, and I knew that I could count on Fireman Mike to call in and let me know that everything's working great. You heard how clear all that is, and I hope it was apparently just as clear for him as you all were hearing it here on the air. So we are loaded and ready. Good to see you, Anti-Shyster, in the chat room. And Darkeja in the chat room, too. Let's see. And when Jesus returns, let me see. I'm trying to see if I got the whole message here. Oh, the rapture is after the two olive trees dies? What? What? After the two olive trees dies? Well, I don't know what method of interpretation you're using there, Darkeja, but it's not the same method that I use. The two olive trees are never going to die. They will live forever. Just ask Paul, the two olive trees, yeah. Because the olive trees represent, like the candlesticks, they represent the church, whatever the context is where they appear. Because Jesus said in the first chapter, he said of the Revelation, he said that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So, and then in context with the two olive trees that are standing before the Lord, well, we know that the olive tree represents the church too, and we learn that from Paul, because Paul said talked about the olive tree with the branches being cut off, okay, and then there were the branches that were being grafted in. So if something's being, if that which is not true is being cut off, and that which is true of the Gentiles is being grafted in, then the olive tree represents the true church. Ta-da. It's that simple. It really is that simple. Yeah, lampstands, what, candlesticks, whatever, depending on the version you're using, but those are symbols for the church. Yeah. And yes, the two prophets are the churches. The churches always prophesy of Christ. And the 144,000 witnesses represent the true church as opposed to those in the outer court, the tares. So the 144,000 represents the true church, and because everywhere those symbols are used, they represent the church. The seven candlesticks are not the same as the two. Well, no, in the context, they're different. The seven churches in the first three chapters are the seven specific churches being addressed. Okay? The two churches are the churches that existed at the time that is being referred to, where the two churches or the two candlesticks are being referred to, but they are still the church. The symbol doesn't change and become something else. So, or congregations or churches, yes. So, I mean, there is the church, the universal church, which represents all of the local churches together that are true. Okay, so we don't have to argue semantics continually, do we? Please tell me we don't. All right. Anyway, so I'm gonna do some more picking on rapture interpretation out here. Our rapture eschatology, false rapture eschatology. Because a rapture, oh, why? Why did they bring in a Latin word? Why? Well, I know why. Because that's where the interpretation comes from. It comes from the Latin church. Being the church at Rome with its Latin father, you know, the great Papa, the most holy father on earth. Yeah, that guy. So, let's see, I did have a video up here. Oh no, that's for later on. Here it is. This is, yes, it's the end of the world as we know it, is the name of this video with Charlie Kirk. This guy's, I've heard the name a lot, but I never paid any attention to him until he showed up with Jack Hibbs, because I've been looking at Jack Hibbs for a while. And you remember the video I just posted here this last week to Jack Hibbs, challenging him. But the question is, will he ever even see my challenge? I sent him my book. Will he ever even hold my book in his hand? And if he does hold my book in his hand, he is so inside the rapture, dispensational futurist box that he can't see outside of it. And that's what he expresses. So, and the other question is, why? Yes, why are they using a Latin word? Why did they adopt this Latin word? Like, hey, it's okay, the rapture is in the Bible, it's in the Latin Bible. I mean, that kind of gives it all away, doesn't it? Yes, it is counter-reformation eschatology at its best and worst. Okay, so anyway, Jack Hibbs meets, and I guess these guys are somewhat friends or something. They seem very friendly on here. I can't watch this whole thing. He's the, you know, he has this is Israel a sovereign country? And they talk about Israel. How should Christians support Israel? I don't know, is Jack or Charlie Kirk, is he a Jew? Maybe, I don't know if he is or not. I didn't see any indication that he was. Let's see. They talk about dispensationalism, and he asks Jack Hibbs about dispensationalism. He kind of just brushes off, oh, there's dispensations. Yeah, the Bible even has the word dispensation in it. So I don't know what everyone's getting so excited about. Well, here's what we're all getting excited about, Jack, is that you say that the 70 weeks prophecy where it says is determined, and the time and the 70 weeks has come to an end in the first century, you're saying that dispensation is not over, but God's saving 7 years of it, the final week, and he's plucked it out of its sequence. When he said 70 weeks, he didn't really mean 70 weeks. He meant 69 weeks, an undetermined period of time, and then finally, we're going to have a 70th week. See, so you're saying the dispensation of the Jews that the prophecy said would end with the 70 weeks is not over yet. And that's the problem with your dispensationalism. It doesn't keep the dispensations where they belong together with themselves, but you're juxtaposing one of the dispensations off into the end of the church age. So that's the problem with your dispensationalism. Of course, there's always different dispensations. And to brush it off so easily like it's nothing, nothing to be concerned about here. But see, that is something to be concerned about. What you're saying is that after the 69th week, the 70th week didn't happen. What, did it just go to 69, 71? We're saving that 70th week for the future? See, that's ludicrous. It makes the prophecy false. But the good news is the prophecy is not false, that the 70 weeks actually were fulfilled, and the last week belonged to the Messiah, not the Antichrist, some unknown Antichrist who's not even named in the text, in the future. Yes, so you needed to use the Latin rapture to save the Pope, to save the papacy and his great apostasy from being the Second Thessalonians' great apostasy with its man of sin. That's all the word rapture means in futurist dispensationalism. That is the very purpose of it, is to vindicate the very Antichrist. Okay. Never mind. Let's see. Okay, so anyway, talking about it, I got distracted by someone yelling at me in the chat room with a 71st week that's not in the text either. And you need to give that up, man. And I'm not going to debate it with you because there's really nothing to debate. Your thesis is not clear, and you can't just keep saying the 70th week is fulfilled, but there's another week in the prophecy. Then why is it not called the 71 weeks prophecy? Give me a break. Seriously. Okay, here we go. Bible prophecy, and yes, let's pick it up here. Let me make sure I got my sound on.
However, in the next segment, Jack, I want to talk about the persecution and the difficulty that will come our way. And then also, Jack, some of the debate around the rapture. I receive emails from all over the place, as you can imagine. I'm not a theologian, not a pastor, but I said that I believe in the rapture recently. And I said, Charlie, it doesn't say that in the Bible. That is goofy speak. So I want you to address that head on, Jack, okay? Because I want, what does the Bible say?
And then it's goofy speak.
Jack Hibbs, stay right there. JackHibbs.org or .com. You guys can find him. He's everywhere, on every social media channel. We'll be right back. Jack Hibbs.
Other words,
and
we're insane.
Christ is going to establish his millennial reign, a thousand-year reign of Christ, from
what
the throne
happened?
Of David, Charlie. If he doesn't, we've got
okay,
the wrong
well,
Jesus.
Okay, we got to skip.
And then also, Jack, some of the debate around the rapture. I receive emails from all over the place, as you can imagine. I'm not a theologian, not a pastor, but I said that I believe in the rapture recently, and I said, Charlie, it doesn't say that in the Bible. That is goofy speak. So I want you to address that head on, Jack, okay? Because I want, what does the Bible say? And then we can have a conversation there. Jack Hibbs, stay right there. JackHibbs.org or .com. You guys can find him. He's everywhere, on every social media channel. We'll be right back. Jack Hibbs continues with us. So, Jack, what does the Bible say about the rapture?
Yep, the Bible talks about the rapture in several locations. People need to understand something, that if they are reading an English Bible, Charlie, they will not find the word rapture. Somebody will say, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the English Bible. The word rapture is found in the Latin Bible. And so the King James translators, for example, they understood that. The English...
Oh, the King James translators understood it, but they didn't use the word rapture. Shame on them. Tried to justify this somehow, but gloss over it as quickly as possible, because they want to continue to use the word rapture to usurp the resurrection.
The best that we can do for the English to relate to the word rapture or rapturus in Latin is two-word compound. In the English, it's caught up. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It's in the Bible. If you're reading your Latin Bible in Latin, it's right there. But if you're reading...
Are you guys reading your Latin Bible? It's right there. If you read your Latin... How many people are... How many Protestants, evangelicals, are reading Latin Bibles? Likely zero. So he needs to answer the question, why? He doesn't understand why, obviously. He is so deluded. But
for example, Greek, Charlie, in the Greek Bible, it's the word harpazo.
Yes.
Caught up in English, harpazo in Greek, and rapture in Latin all means the exact same word. To be violently or quickly removed in the context is away from the earth. How do we know? John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said it himself. I'm going to go away and to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that we will be those who have died, bodies resurrected at the rapture, and those who are alive shall be caught up, rapture, harpazo, to meet them. That is the...
Very slick, but false. It says to meet them. It doesn't say that. It says to meet Christ in the air. But he wants it to meet them, because you're meeting the dead in Christ in the air. No, you're being caught up with the dead in Christ. He's got it pretty well mixed up here. But the way he does it, it supports his rapture thesis, because they're going to heaven. So you're going to meet them and go to heaven with them. You're not being caught up in the air to meet Christ suddenly. Let me back that up a little bit so you can catch it, and I'll just let it ride through there. Okay.
Lives shall be caught up, rapture, harpazo, to meet them, that is the deceased who have died before us, and meet
them.
See,
that is not true. And we have the text there. If I look for the text, I have it here in my book. It says, for this we say, let's see, for the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven to shout, the voice of the archangel, with the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those, and the rising first is not the harpazo, okay? They shall rise first, but that is the resurrection, when the dead rise first, it says, okay? The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Not to meet them, but we be caught up together with them. So we're not being caught up to meet them. So he has that kind of mixed up. And for someone who's supposed to know the Bible pretty well, he should, I mean, obvious error when I heard it, I knew exactly that it was wrong. Okay? And he's supposed to know this rapture stuff better than everyone else on earth, including me. But he says, so we're not meeting them. We're being caught up with them to meet Christ. It says, caught up together with them, not to meet them, in the clouds to meet Christ in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. So that's what it says. And so there's a little bit of a mix-up there showing you that he doesn't really know the scripture enough that he can't say it correctly, or he has a reason, a subconscious reason for not saying it correctly, or he's truly a deceiver and he knows that he's deceiving. So the Bible tells us, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the so-called love chapter, that we should believe the best. So the best that I can believe about Jack Hibbs on this topic is that he is deceived. He is sincerely deluded, because the worst would be that he's a deceiver, that he knows he's deceiving. So what's my choice? What choice do I have? Okay. Continuing here.
In the air and be with the Lord forever. So people who say it's not in the Bible, they need to understand that they get bogged down with the word rapture. How about this? Harpazo. Forget about the word rapture. Talk about harpazo.
I agree. Stop using the word rapture.
But caught up in the English. It's going to happen. It's promised to the church. And people get, Charlie, what you're really scratching on now is very important doctrine. And I am... You are what's known as a futurist premillennial pre-tribulationist. What does that mean? It means if we take the Bible literally, where it says literally, and when it's typological, the Bible says so. For example, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. That means we know a dove did not land on Jesus' shoulders when he was baptized. It was like a...
If he was a literalist, he would believe that the 70 weeks were really 70 weeks. Yeah. So they always claim, they always want to wear the badge that we are the literalists. But we know that like a dove doesn't mean that a dove landed on Jesus. So, yeah, we all get that. It actually says, literally says that. But that example, you know, show me where the Bible says that there is a literal pre-tribulation resurrection that happens 7 years before Jesus returns. That's not literal anywhere. Of course, they'll never mention that.
However, when it's talking about the catching away of the saints, listen to this. Luke 21:36 says that when you see all these things beginning to happen in the world around you, look up and pray that you escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. That's a reference to the rapture. There are many references, Charlie. People just, we need to get away from our denominational isms and let the Bible speak to us itself. And stop trying to read things into it. And we won't go astray if we read the word.
Yes, stop trying to read things into it, like a pre-tribulation resurrection that happens 7 years before Jesus returns and the first resurrection. Because there's only one first resurrection. It's not divided into two resurrections. And but perhaps we'll see what he has to say about that, him and Charlie Kirk. Does anybody out here know Charlie Kirk? Is there any hope for this guy? The word Kirk is German for church. That's very a good observation there, DLW, in the chat room. People will come up with all sorts of things to keep their future 7 years, including a 71st week. But that's what it has to be. They just skipped the 70th, went from 69 to 71st week, because they're saving that 70th week for the future. Oh, that's obvious to the prophecy, isn't it? Come on, we're literalists. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Yes, welcome back. I hope all my sound is right today. I know Epicus was giving me a hard time last night about the sound. I think I've got it all equalized today, so let me know if it's better over there in the Rumble chat room. Is this live? Yes, it is. So, I don't know what other problems going there. Good to see you, Epicus, and genetic modification over there in the chat room. In the Rumble chat room, that is. And you can see it right behind my face there, the Rumble chat room. Let's see, was there a question? It hasn't responded. Do you realize he plays recordings of previous streams? I'm usually live on Wednesday mornings and every night, or most nights anyway. So, so I guess there's no specific question or anything in the chat room there. But anyway, thank you guys for showing up in all the chat rooms over there. Good to see Sifted Sands, Sola Scriptura, Dale W., and everyone else I mentioned already. And if you'd like to call in, the phone number is working. Fireman Mike called in earlier, and it is working very well. But no, you've never seen this show before. And there's the old phone. I'm not answering that one. We have a Let's see. We do it like this. Watch. The new number is 559-543-8470. Thank you. How do you like that? Yeah, so just if you call the old number, you're just going to get an announcement that says that the old number will be done away with. I could go over there and just unplug it, but I'm going to, until I change the numbers on the website, I'll leave it just in case someone wants to call who's not a ghost caller. Okay, when we were talking about, yes, this guy, Charlie Kirk. And someone said something about that Charlie Kirk is a Catholic. Epica says Charlie is MAGA and a Catholic. Well, I'm not going to hold it against him because he's MAGA. Okay. I do believe in making America great again because America was only great because America was good. Okay. We got a caller here. Your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air. Okay. No speaking, huh? And I do have this one. I have it says ghost question mark. So I've already marked this one. So I guess this is the third number I'm going to have to... So this is the second time, and I guess this means that this 931-413-9906 is our ghost caller. So I'm going to end that call. And now I'm going to go like this, block number, yes. Okay, that's three numbers I've had to block so far because I've been ghost called. I wonder how many different numbers, because I never knew on my old system, it has a caller ID, but it stopped working a long time ago. So I wasn't able to do what I can do now, obviously. So there, I just blocked that number. Your 913 number is now blocked. Let me see. The other numbers I blocked are a 414 number and a 575 number. All blocked because they called several times and didn't talk. But I know the phone is working excellently. Thank you, Fireman Mike, for... And I called it myself last night and could hear myself on the air. So... just to check and see if it's working. Okay. Let's see, where were we at here? I was looking at... oh, yeah. I just said it because that's what he is known for. He has been an active voice in the battle against insanity, but he does have allegiances. And so... So is he Catholic? Is he MAGA and is he Catholic? There's so much in the chat room, I can't read it all. So, if he's Catholic, why is he having, what's his name on? I thought he was just evangelical. So, I'll have to look that up, Charlie Kirk, if he's Catholic or not. And maybe I should. Let me see. Let me go to my search engine here and just put his name in. Charlie Kirk. I guess that's how you spell it. That's Charlie Kirk. Let's see. Wikipedia page. Let's see. Occupation, organizations, political party, spouse, children, awards. They're not putting down religion anywhere. So, and I noticed that they're leaving that off a lot of Wikipedia pages now. So... if he's Catholic, I guess I don't know it. Let's see. Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty. I guess if you're not Protestant, you must be Catholic, right? Salem Media is not a Catholic, but he has the Charlie Kirk show on Salem Media. The Answer. But yeah, he has, people have answers. That doesn't mean they're right. That doesn't mean that their answers are correct. Let's see. Racial issues, climate change, death penalty, Republican and pro-Trump, election fraud, school activism, sexual, okay, whatever, books. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know if he's Catholic or not. I can't confirm that. But I think he would be evangelical if he has this guy on with him. Not that one. This guy on with him. So anyway, they were talking about the rapture when we left them behind. And so let's pick them back up and see what they have to say. We're ready to go here.
Let the word speak to us.
So Jack, let me ask you, that topic is a source of such contention. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's such passion? Because we're receiving emails on both sides. You know, a pastor just emailed me, Charlie, couldn't disagree more. I'm not even going to read it, Jack. I'm just, help me understand.
Yeah, it's
help me understand.
So that pastor, for example, should read 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, and Charlie, verse 18 says, and therefore, it's all about the hope of Christ's imminent coming at any moment with no warning. And then he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. It should be a great comfort. The church's sins were...
Okay, just because he feels something is a great comfort doesn't mean it's true. Because the Bible says that. Yes, it does. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But it doesn't say anything about a pre-tribulation resurrection that happened 7 years before. This whole thing, this verse is about the resurrection, and that has always been the blessed hope. For, you know, the first 1800 years of the church era, no one believed in a pre-tribulation resurrection that happened 7 years before the first resurrection of the scripture. And I'll reiterate it again. Yes, comfort one another with these words. The resurrection is true. But there are only two resurrections, two general resurrections outlined, yet future, and even future then. There were only two. The first resurrection is called the first resurrection in Revelation 20. That's the one that happens when the Lord comes. And the dead in Christ are raised or resurrected first, and then those who are alive and remain are changed. That's their resurrection. They're changed from mortal, live, living humans into immortal, resurrected humans. And then they're caught up together. They're harpazoed, raptured, caught up together. But I'd rather not use the Latin rapture word, because I'm not a Latin. I'm not a Catholic, okay? I don't worship the Latin man. I don't speak Latin. I don't read the Latin Bible. And I really don't know anybody who does, unless they're Catholic and they're in love with the Latin Mass. So.
Judged at the cross. The church does not go the tribulation period. You can't find the church in the tribulation period. It's all...
Okay, and more fallacy. You can't find the church in the tribulation... Okay, well, here's the tribulation period. It's chapter 6 through 19 of the Bible. Okay, let's try this. Accepting. Your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, Nicholas, my name is Matthew. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. I'm Sifted Sands in the YouTube chat.
Oh, okay. Good to hear from you, Matthew.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to call in with a quick comment. I was driving, but I just pulled over for a minute. So it's interesting that Jack Hibbs actually brought up the rapture-harponzo difference, because it actually makes me think that terms are very important, as you've stated. And to me, that's why when it comes, I know a big part of the rapture is this third temple they keep talking about being built. But I actually think we need to start calling it the fourth temple, because the third temple was built when Jesus came back from the dead. So this is really the fourth temple they're talking about. So I just thought I'd make that comment.
Well, yeah, that is astute. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Anything else? Matthew?
No, I just also wanted to add that I did read your Secrets of the Rapture book, and I got a lot out of it, so I really appreciate you writing that. And I think next, I you have another book that I bought. I believe it's about how the rapture play is going to play out when this third temple they're all waiting for is built. So I look forward to reading that too.
Okay, great, great. All right,
Nicholas.
Thanks for the call, Matthew. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye. And there you go. That's the new phone system. Sounds great, and everybody can hear everybody. Yay, technology! It's me that is, you know, technologically deficient. It took me that long to get the technology that I already had, because I added this about 6 or 8 months ago. I forget how long ago the text number there, and I just couldn't get it to work. But it finally did. There we go. All right, so very astute. But there is a difference in the temples. We all know that the New Testament temple, and that's part of the book. That's in both books. The one that he hasn't read, when the third temple is built, which is really I republish as the Abraham Accord. So basically, it's the same message. It's just updated to the Abraham Accord in the book, the Abraham Accord. But when the third temple is built, is I believe the one he's talking about, this one here, still very good. But like I said, it's just it's the first edition. And I've been giving the second edition away on a PDF. And that's this right here, the Abraham Accord, is the second edition of the When the Third Temple is Built. And I'm going to put that in the chat rooms right now. And anyone can ask for it at any time. You go to my website. There's a tab there on my website. And that tab says free ebook. So you see it right there, free ebook. Yeah, that's the one. So if you click on that tab there, follow the instructions, and I'll send you a free PDF of the Abraham Accord. But it's just the updated ones, because when I wrote When the Third Temple is Built, the Abraham Accord wasn't a thing. And so when the Abraham Accord popped up, I included it in the first chapter, rearranged the book a little bit, but basically it's the same book either way. It has the same message. It introduces rapture believers to historicism and true prophecy. That's what the book is really made to do. I wrote it for rapture believers, to introduce them to historicism. Let's see, we got any more comments or question in the chat rooms here? I have a lot to look at. I'll have to look at this PDF then. Yeah, let me put that in the chat room for you right now. And you're in the chat room there. Copy, and I'll paste it in that chat room there for you. Paste it. There we go. And I'll also put it in the other chat room, First Amendment Radio chat room. I can figure out how to get it there. There we go. Paste. And so it's in both chat rooms, the First Amendment Radio chat room on YouTube and the chat room at First Amendment Radio. So if you want, and please, you know, I'll send that to everyone on your stupid phone device or everyone on your email list. Just send it out. I'm giving it away free. You can buy it on Amazon, too. People are buying it there. It's my most popular book this month on Amazon, which doesn't mean I'm making a lot of money, because I'm not making very little money on Amazon. So if I sell 3 of something on Amazon that's in a month, that's my most popular book for me. There you go. Lots of comments. Okay, let's go back to Jack Hibbs, and where is that tab at? It's here. It is, and see what else he has to say. I'm going to back up a little bit.
It should be a great comfort. The church's sins were judged at the cross. The church does not go the tribulation period. You can't find the church in the tribulation period. It's all about Israel and tribulation saints.
No, see, that's wrong. Okay, so he's talking about you can't find the church in the tribulation period. It's all about Israel and something. But the tribulation he's speaking of is everything written in chapter 6 through 19 of the scripture. He says the church is not present there. But that's not true. you can't find the word church there. At least David Jeremiah said that right. He says, you cannot find the word church in chapters 6 through 19. He spoke the truth, but he's still pushing a lie. Here, this guy can't even get it right. He says you can't find the church there, which, yes, you can. You know, and that's why I wrote this book, to show people you could find the church there. And so that would be chapter 2 of the book. Let me see. Let me open up to chapter 2 of this book here. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2. Open up to the first page of chapter 2, and it says, first of all, I must insist that the mere absence of the word church does not mean that it is absent. The church is mentioned in numerous ways in chapters 6 through 19. Okay? Fellow servants, brethren, the servants of our God, they which came out of great tribulation, the saints, them that worship, them that fear thy name. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And there's more. We're not done yet. These are all many of the ways that the church is mentioned. And they love not their lives unto the death, and her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, plus many more. So to say that the church is absent is a bald-faced lie, or just stupid ignorance. It's one or the other. Either that or it's deception, but I have to believe the best. So stupid ignorant is the best. Okay? And see, what they're trying to convince you is that everything in chapter 6 through 19 happens in their 7-year tribulation period. But that the Bible belies that notion, because it says in the Revelation that the future things, the prophecy being foretold in chapters 6 through 19, must shortly come to pass, of course, in its order. So what would be first? Well, the seals. The first seal would be the first thing. And the first seal, I believe, was opened right at the end of the first century when the Revelation was written. And that first seal era lasted 80 or 90 years. It was the Trajan dynasty. That's what the first seal is depicting. Okay? The Trajan dynasty. And it went from there, and it's filled up every era of the church age until now. Okay? The last 2,000 years. Okay? Nearly 2,000 years has been filled up by everything that's written in chapter 6 through 19, and we are at the end now. If we're going to go on the chronological time scale of the Revelation, you know, we have the three chronologies of sevens, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials, okay? And we are at the very end. I believe that we are in the era of the seventh vial right now. And it says, it is finished. This is the last judgment before Christ returns. But when he returns, there is one more judgment. And that will be the Battle of Armageddon, called the Great Day of God Almighty, when he puts down all rule in the whole earth. And he imposes his rule with his saints for 1,000 years. So there's one more tribulation and one more judgment after Christ returns. So, in a way, it is pre-trib before that final tribulation, but Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, and people have had great tribulation, and some people have had lesser tribulation. But Jesus said, in this life you will have tribulation, and thank God if your tribulation has not been great tribulation, such as the people in Gaza are suffering right now. The Christians in Gaza are suffering great tribulation right now. And there are other people in the earth that are suffering great tribulation. And there has been periods of great tribulation in different places throughout the centuries. But there is no the great tribulation that is 7 years expressed anywhere in the scripture. They just want to squish the entire Revelation up into a 7-year period. And you know what that means? That means that God left the entire, nearly the entire last 2,000 years out of the Bible. And that will be the only era, according to them, the only era that God leaves out of the Bible. That's kind of like the flu disappearing for 3 years. You know, it's a fantasy. Okay? The last 2,000 years did happen. God did foretell it. God left nothing out of his word from Genesis till the time he comes again, and he even fills up after that. Why would he just leave out the last 2,000 years and nothing else out of the word of God? There's another testimony against their false prophecy, because they have to believe that God left the last 2,000 years out of the scripture, and he did not. It is all there. Good to see you. Stephen in the chat room, and Victor, thanks for joining us today. Okay, let's see. Well, let's see what else. We were not done with the rapture section here.
The tribulation period. You can't find the church in the tribulation period. It's all about Israel and tribulation saints. Listen, everybody listen up, especially the pastor that texted or emailed Charlie. There are Old Testament saints. They wear white robes, the Bible says. There is the church age saints, the bride of Christ. She wears linen, fine, bright, and white. And then there's the...
So now he's got this new thing I've never heard before, but he's probably heard it from someone else. That the white robes, well, they're different. Yeah. I think white robes are white robes. They're probably all made of linen, white and clean. But he's saying, oh, there's a difference between the Old Testament saints. They just wear white robes. But the church wears the fine linen, bright and clean. Okay. No. All of the elect are the bride of Christ. All of them. From Adam and Eve to the last person that before the first resurrection that is added to the elect, to his church. They're all wearing the same robes. They're all riding on the same white horses. Okay? There's no differentiation. The church is the fulfillment of every promise made to the Old Testament saints and to Israel. The church is the fulfillment. Jesus said, I will build my church. But he was already, his church was already being built with the elect that happened before. They were waiting, because even Job testified. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. We going to leave Job? Job is not going to be part at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's only going to be the Gentile church. That's a fallacy and a fantasy in the other direction. Okay, so him coming up with this new thing, and he keeps spouting out all over the place. White robes are white robes. They're all the same. They're all white, clean, made of linen. What were the Old Testament saints? What did they get? Cotton robes or something? You know, that they're differentiated from the New Testament Christians? It's one olive tree, dude. Some branches were, the original branches were cut off. New ones were grafted in, but it's the same olive tree, the true church of all ages. Anyway, it's time for a break. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content.
So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. For those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is, speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy in history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. All right, welcome back. We are continuing our battle against false prophecy. And this week, we're still picking on Jack Hibbs. And I think I'm going to send a nice letter to Charlie Kirk and a copy of my book and see if I can get him to read it and see, instead of all of the red herring opposition that the pre-trib resurrectionists throw up for themselves to cover themselves. They come up with their own opposition, which they easily tear down, because like I said, everything they throw up is a red herring, but they'll never hear the true challenges. And that's why one reason why I wrote this book, you know, the Secrets of the Rapture, because for the true challenges. So I'm going to send a copy to Charlie Kirk and a nice letter to him too, as I did to Jack Hibbs. And so far everyone, and I send delivery confirmation, so I know everyone gets the book that I sent, whether their office allows them to see it or not. You never know. There might be someone just there getting it in the mail and throwing it directly in the trash. Oh no, we can't have challenges to our sacred thesis. So
That's why I think if you know Jack Hibbs or anyone that worships the pre-trib rapture like he does, make sure he sees the video that I posted last week or this video, because really I don't have anything against him. I would like to see somebody in the mainstream come out and say, I was wrong about the rapture. I was deluded, because they believe in so much that is not in the scripture. And I mean, you know, Satan is a very clever deceiver, and he's really pulled a fast one. The Antichrist and his minions with their Counter-Reformation propaganda. They even have Protestants. They got Protestants to quit protesting. Because as long as the papacy was the Antichrist, as was declared in the 16th century, people had something to protest. But when they forget who he is and that he has a great apostasy, then there's no reason to protest. Yeah, it's just another denomination now, right? Okay. Let's go ahead and play it here.
Tribulation saints that are beheaded for their faith, and they're giving white robes. You've got Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, wearing white robes, and you've got the tribulation saints that are beheaded.
Where does he get this white robes thing at, and their beheaded thing he keeps talking about, that they're tribulation saints? Okay, so here's their scheme, is that if you're a Christian now, before Christ comes back 7 years before his return and takes the church out of the way, you're not a tribulation saint, okay? You get to go to heaven and have a party while there's going to be saints left on the earth. The unlucky saints are going to be left on the unlucky elect, and they're going to have to be beheaded, because what they do is they go to chapter 20, and of course they have to ignore part of chapter 20 because they're not really literalists, and they go to chapter 20, and it said, of the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, those are the tribulation saints. But you know what it says at the end of this thing? At the end of this, it says, this is the first resurrection. I have it highlighted here. The souls of them, these are the tribulation saints he's saying, but it says, this is the first resurrection. So if they were caught up 7 years earlier, okay, you see where I'm going with this first resurrection thing? If they were caught up 7 years earlier, what resurrection was that? Was that the pre-resurrection? And I can't find that in the Bible. But now they've come up with, you know, they have the clever, oh, it's the resurrection in two parts. The first resurrection happens in two parts. First, it's the pre-tribulation rapture resurrection. And then 7 years later, because of those trib saints, because they weren't wise enough to be resurrected the first time. So there's two parts, or somehow they got left behind because they needed a little purgatory here on earth to, you know, bring them all away. Oh, you know what that is? You know what the rapture, the Great Tribulation? It's an evangelical purgatory. But it's not a place, a compartment off the earth, but it's on the earth. How about that? But that's what he's saying. But the scripture, if they're literalists, and this is the first resurrection, if they are caught up 7 years earlier, what's that? Oh, it's called a rapture. Yeah, see, they invented a whole new resurrection. Let's see. There's always been a battle. Okay. Yes, indeed. So, come on, man. What's with this? Okay. So let's get back to it here. And let me back up a little bit so we can keep the context going here.
There's linen, fine, bright, and white.
Okay, we took care of that.
The tribulation saints that are beheaded for their faith, and they're giving white robes. You've got Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, wearing white robes, and you've got the church in the Bible wearing fine white linen, clean and bright, which is none other than a wedding gown. You need to remember that when you look at this. Also keeping in mind that...
You need to remember that because it's not even... It's because he said it. He's not pointing to any verses that say the church only gets white fine linen, but the Old Testament saints, they just get those plain white robes. It's because of the tribulation, and the tribulation saints are the only ones that are beheaded because they were not lucky enough to escape the tribulation purgatory that's coming on the earth because they were too stupid to make the pre-resurrection resurrection called a rapture that happened 7 years before Jesus returns and the first resurrection. Just trying to keep up with this. I had all of the contradictions there, because it says, okay, these are the tribulation saints because they're beheaded for Jesus and because they didn't make the pre-tribulation rapture resurrection, but this is the first resurrection. Okay, so if the tribulation saints were beheaded because they didn't make the pre-tribulation rapture and get out of the seven-year tribulation purgatory, okay, period. If that's the first resurrection, then what was the one that happened 7 years earlier? Well, I'll tell you what it was. It's a fantasy that is nowhere found in the scripture. They are not literalists. Yeah, they're literalists, plus they add things to the scripture that aren't there, like gaps in Daniel's 70 weeks, like another resurrection that happened 7 years earlier. That's not literal. That's called fantasy. That's called adding to the word of God. And they are guilty. So perhaps they will get those plagues that are written in the book, which God said he would add to those that add to his word. Why these people are not very afraid, I do not know. They obviously don't know the scripture as well as they think they do. Your name and where are you calling from? Really? Another one, huh? Okay, well, we'll have to keep on you an eye on you, 423. Does this happen to other people, or is there just a whole bunch of ghost callers out there who don't want to talk? Because we have established well that the phone line works. Okay, well, that's strike one. And strike three strikes and you're out. You're blocked. So I've already blocked three numbers. Yeah, I have caller ID. I have the number. Well, what do you mean, do I have caller ID? I do. But I'm here by myself. I don't have a producer to screen these calls. So I know what the number is. But if someone calls and they don't say anything, I'm going to block them after three tries. If they haven't found their voice by the third try, they get a strike from me. Oh, I have now I feel powerful like Google and YouTube. I can strike people. Give them three strikes and they're out. So anyway, that's it. So I've already blocked three numbers, two today, so, and one last night. So it looks like I've got another one. That's amazing that there's that many people that would bother calling into my program just to harass me. Or maybe it's the same person running to different phone booths. I have no idea. I guess I can do this all day long, too. See, but that way, every once in a while, I'll have someone call me, and they can't hear each other, but then we call again, and it works, yeah. Well, that's why I'm giving them three strikes, and they're out, because if it's just an error, because I know that does happen occasionally. Yes, the ghost caller could use different numbers, and so far, this is the fourth one that he's used. What few telephone booths remain? Yeah, I live in the past, right? Anyway, we're almost getting through this segment here, the rapture segment of this interview with Jack Hibbs on Charlie Kirk, who I will send a copy of my book and a very nice letter to him. So, because I just want him to read the book and then look at the Bible for himself instead of going, hey, Jack, I got this book. What do you think about it? Oh, that's insane, he told you us the other day in the last video. He called us, if you don't believe in this pre-trip rapture, you're insane. So, yeah. My insanity is that I tell the truth and I really look for something in the Bible before I believe it, which obviously he doesn't, because it can't be found. It cannot be found. Now let's continue here.
The church, and we're living right now, Charlie, at a time, this is the first time in human history where the church and Israel as a nation has existed at the same time. God is shifting away, almost done with the church. He's going to call the church up and dial down.
Well, that's not true, because the church existed until 70 AD with Israel at the same time. So, but it is fitting that, you know, that Israel as a nation is there, but not in the same status as it was until, well, it's in the same status right now as it was after the 70 weeks ended. About 34 AD, when the 70th week ended, Israel's status turned into the same status that they're enjoying now. And that is the status that they are not God's set-apart national church on earth. Okay? The national church on earth is now a supernational church that goes beyond all boundaries. And it's represented by the candlesticks or lampstands in the Revelation, and also by the olive tree in the Revelation and by Paul. But with the branches that were cut off were those that were rejected. Okay, that's why we know it's the true church, because the ones that remained and weren't cut off were true. Those that were not true were cut off. Okay, and those that are grafted in, as say were the Gentiles, into the olive tree itself. So the olive tree represents the true church, and Israel is not that. Now, they like to say that Israel is represented by a fig tree. That may or may not be true. But God, Jesus cursed the fig tree for not producing fruit. So if Israel is the fig tree, I could go along with that. God cursed it and it withered and died because it did not produce fruit. So yes, the fig tree is a good emblem for Israel. But the olive tree is definitely the true church, which includes Jews and Gentiles. And Jesus said, I will build my church. So it represents the church that Jesus said he would build. Continuing.
Israel as promised. But we must understand the difference. When the Bible talks about saints, you need to ask the question, what's the context of when it talks about saints? Because the Bible says the saints will be beheaded in the tribulation period. The Bible says the saints will die for their faith.
It does not say the saints will be beheaded in the tribulation period. It does not say the saints will die for their faith. Okay. It says that saints will die for their faith and saints will be beheaded, but not in the context that he's alluding to, because that's been happening throughout history, not just during some fantasy 7-year period that they call the Great Tribulation, which is not really even named in the scripture itself. There's no such thing in the scripture as the Great Tribulation. It says there shall be great tribulation. And as I say over and over, there has always been periods of great tribulation throughout history. There are saints in the world suffering right now under great tribulation at this very moment. And we can name where some of them are at. There were saints that died for their faith and suffered great tribulation in the past, in France, in every country of Western Europe. There were suffering periods of great tribulation variously throughout different parts of the earth, as there always have been. There is no such thing as the Great Tribulation period, separate from all other great tribulation periods in the Bible. Continuing.
Don't confuse those saints with the church. Those are the tribulation saints. The church in Revelation 19 is in heaven. She's not spoken of anywhere in the book of Revelation after chapter 4.
And we already answered that. We know that's not true. I just it just told you how the only reason the word church is used in the first three chapters is because, one, Jesus in the first chapter is establishing that the Revelation is written only to and about the church in the world until he comes. And there are seven letters to seven churches in the second and third chapter. So the word church has to be used each time for each church at least once, if not twice. Okay? And that's why the word church appears so much in the first three chapters of the Bible. But the church is referred to many times throughout the entire scripture, throughout chapters 6 through 19 of the Bible in many different ways. Do I have to read them all again? Right? That's why I wrote chapter 2 in my book and opened the chapter with that. Okay? We'll go back there again. Chapter 2. Here it is. I'll read you the list again. The church is mentioned in numerous ways. Fellow servants, brethren, the servants of our God, they which came out of great tribulation, the saints, them that worship, them that fear thy name, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death, and her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, plus many more ways the church are referenced to in chapters 6 through 19. So he keeps repeating what is now becoming an old lie or inaccuracy that the church is not mentioned in chapters 6 through 19. It is mentioned over and over and over again. Simply because the word church is not used does not mean that it is absent.
The next time she's mentioned, Charlie, she's in heaven. The question is, how'd she get there? Answer is John 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
So Jack, this is so powerful. What I love about your approach is also then what is to be done. Because some people might agree with everything you've said, and they said, well, therefore, who am I to get in the way of God's plan? It's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Let's just run to the hills and let the storm pass. You have a completely 180-degree different approach, which is what, Jack Hibbs?
Yeah, the Bible says occupy till he comes, right? The Bible tells us to be salt and light, that we are to make a difference in this world. Yes, Charlie and I together are involved in a lot of things that are to affect our culture. We are fighting porn in public schools.
Yes.
Our church, Charlie knows, the Democrat state in California knows our church. They hate our church. We are a force in this state. Why? Because, watch, we believe Jesus could come back at any moment. We're ready to meet him. In the meantime, we believe that so much that we are getting people to run for Congress. We're getting people to run for school board. We are stopping porn in the public school system. We are doing our best constantly to affect the culture. Why? Frankly, for this one reason. When Jesus comes back, we want to be caught doing our Father's business. So I'm preparing for the next 100 years because I'm supposed to occupy. And that's hard, Charlie, because I believe he could come back today. But
well, that's all very commendable that they're doing all those things. And I am glad they're doing those things, you know, because there's a sign that there's some real faith there. But there's the whole delusion about that thing that keeps a lot of people from, because if Christ is going to return imminently, then a lot of people really don't want to invest in the world around them or in the gospel. But, you know, this guy, he's getting paid to be a pastor. He has a large outreach, so he should be doing all of those things to affect the world around him. And that is commendable. You know, I can't say anything about that. But then teaching false prophecy may undermine a lot of the work that he's doing, because people will look at and they'll hear things come out of his mouth that are obviously not true. Or when they read the Bible and they try to find those things and they go, this is all nuts. So they can do just as much damage as they do good by doing what is true on one hand, but then propagating false prophecy and adding to the word of God on the other. Let's see. Even if people get prophecy wrong, is not to say they are not brothers. I agree with that. I've never said otherwise. But, you know, they have to be either deceivers or deceived. And that's a sad thing to say, because one or the other is true in that case.
but I got to focus on what we're supposed to do, be faithful, and the last thing I want to do is sit on my roof with a white robe and wait for him to come back when there's so much good
with
to
a
be
right
done.
Robe.
And I want to tell everybody about Jesus so we take with us as many men and women,
yes.
And boys and girls when he comes.
So now's the time to not be complacent or to just sit idly by. So Jack, can you just speak to what I believe is an unclean spirit and a temptation of the flesh to misapply the promise of God's plan to inaction in the moment? Can you talk about that? Because I see it every so often, Jack. I get texts, Charlie, what's the point? I'm going to sit this out. God has it all covered. God is sovereign. He has a plan. I am not needed for that plan. I think that's an unclean spirit, Jack, applying something really poor to a truth. Can you help unpack that for us?
Charlie, you are 100%. What you're referring to is in the last days, there's going to be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, teachings from demons. Watch this. What you just said.
And unfortunately, the false prophecy from the Antichrist Church, the Counter-Reformation propaganda, is part of what he's actually talking about, and he doesn't even know it. Yeah, that's how deluded and deceived these people are. That they can rail against exactly what they are doing because they do not affirm by the Word of God that everything that they say is truly from the Word of God, and somehow it doesn't bother them to add like gaps to the Word of God, resurrections, and change the meaning of the word rapture, borrow a Latin word from the Latin Bible, import it into their evangelical Protestant Bible and church, and use it to invent or add another resurrection beside the one that the Bible actually enumerates as the first resurrection. See, that why? How can they be so blind to continue doing this? These people think, a lot of them think because they're famous, because they're popular, that they're right. Yeah, you know, that's right. The broad way goes to heaven, and the narrow way goes to hell. And that's why they believe everything they say, and they can't see beyond their own popularity. Because, they, you know, I mean, look at him, you know, 1.5 million followers, got to speak in front of Congress and say a prayer, and all this notoriety. Put out a video, let's see, how long ago was this video? 4 months ago, 344,000 views. I put out a video for 4 months, and if I get 400 views over that time, I'm lucky. I mean, I got videos 4 months old that got like 80 views, okay? That's because everybody knows that if you were right, you would be popular. That's right, and the people that are popular, they're the ones who are right. Isn't that the way the world works? Is that what it says in Matthew chapter 7, that the broad way, the way to heaven is broad, and the way to hell is narrow, so get on the broad way and follow popularity? No, I think it says the exact opposite. No, I would be afraid to be that popular, because I would have to look around and going, something's wrong here. Let me see if everything I'm saying, every single thing I'm saying, matches up with the Word of God. Let me make sure that there's not even 1% rat poison in this food that I'm feeding the populace, that the masses are following me for. Yeah. So they're talking about an unclean spirit. It's just amazing how much what they're saying applies to him and them, and they don't even see it.
The sovereign, he has a plan. I am not needed for that plan.
And that's true. We are not needed for God's plan, but God, it pleases God to use us. Now, see, there's a great error there in that they think that they are needed. God needs me. Yes, God absolutely needs. How's God going to do it without me? Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And I casted out demons and I healed the sick, Lord. Depart from me. I never knew you. I didn't need you. You needed me. They think too highly of themselves. I'll be back.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that.
corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Well, I want to shout out to, let's see, who do we have in the chat room here? Warrior of God, thank you for showing up. And Cheyenne. In the chat room over there on YouTube, she says, my neighbor belongs to Hibbs Church. They keep trying to get me to believe in what he teaches. They drop Jack Hibbs books at my doorstep. I already did, and it trails off there. Yeah. Men like Hibbs are very good talkers with strong personalities. That's true. Excellent point. God doesn't need us, but we need him, his sound doctrine and plan. Yeah, and you know, then someone else says that, John says, a rudimentary check on Google shows that Jack Hibbs has acquired an $8 billion net worth from tickling the ears of his followers. Just another poor, humble pastor. Well, I'm not going to hold, you know, wealth against him or any man just for that reason itself, but there is the deceitfulness of riches, and if he's gained this wealth through propagating a falsehood like the rapture, then he would be more blinded by that wealth toward the truth of the lie he's propagating. And he may be in for a very rude surprise because he is adding to God's word an extra biblical resurrection that happens 7 years before Christ returns, which requires adding a gap. There's two places at least where he's adding other things too, like the white robes thing, that doctrine that he's come up with lately himself. That's another addition to the word of God. God says, if you add to my word, that I will add the plagues that are written in the book to you. So that's not as bad as having your name taken out of the book of life. Okay, because that would be deadly and final. But still a dire warning. I mean, I've had enough tribulation in my life. I don't need any plagues added to me. And, you know, perhaps the plague may show up as a cancer in his family or something. You never know, because all these things are plagues. And all of these plagues that God judges men with are to correct them and to bring and to humble them. Because I know it's very humbling when you have a medical challenge in your life. Nothing's more humbling than that. And those are specifically what plagues are. Of course, we have a lot of things can be plagues, and plagues could be frogs or blood or some kind of sickness. So I would, you know, and I've got enough. My life has been plagued enough. I like to minimize the tribulation in my life, so I'm not going to purposely add to God's word, or purposely or otherwise. I'm going to be always on the lookout to make sure that what I'm saying is in God's word already and I'm not adding to it. I mean, I fear God, you know, and I don't need millions of followers. If I can have a dozen people show up for my broadcast, I am a very happy man, because actually God's already with that. God has given me more than he's given most men on earth. I don't need millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars, followers, or hundreds of thousands of dollars in book sales. I don't need it. And God doesn't need me. I am humbled that he can use me at all. Yeah. And I'm never going to stand before him any day and say, didn't I do this and didn't I do that? Because I know it was his pleasure to use me. And especially humbled because I know he does not need me. He does not need any of us. He created us.
That's an unclean spirit, Jack, applying something really poor to a truth. Can you help unpack that for us?
Charlie, you are 100%. What you're referring to is in the last days, there's going to be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, teachings from demons. Watch this. What you just said, and Charlie, you do it better and most than pastors in America.
Okay, let's try it again. 4, 2, 3. Your name and where you're calling from? Okay, I think that's strike 2 for 4, 2, 3. Oh no, that's a different one. Okay, well, yeah. Let's see. Going, and call. So that's strike 1 for 4, 2, 3. We'll skip that. I gotta make a note of this so I don't forget. Okay. Wish there was an easier way to do this. 4, 2, 3, 8, 3, 6, 7, 5, 7, 6. Strike 1. And then we have 804. If I'm giving out someone's number and you don't like it, call me up. I'll retract. That was the other one that did. They called in and didn't answer. 804-836-5378. I got to start a list. Okay, so we get strike one each. That's what I do. Three strikes and they're out forever. Okay, let's continue here. This is sounding pretty good about
what you just said. And Charlie, you do it better and most than pastors in America. And honestly,
Okay, they're talking about evil spirits and deception, and he does it better than, I don't know, is that what he's saying?
I love what you're doing, don't stop. But that's a shame on pastors that are not engaging the culture, because we are supposed to be the watchman on the wall, blowing the trumpet of warning if danger is approaching. And the Bible tells us that if we don't warn those that we are overseeing of the encroaching danger, their blood is on our hands as shepherds. So we are to be absolutely engaged in the culture, at the same time getting ready to go up. And there should be no problem to somebody reconciling that. Charlie, when somebody says, well, I don't get involved in politics, well, you need to repent of that. Because, listen, government was given by God. Politics is what man does to government when good people are not involved. The first Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America, John Jay, said it's best for us to elect Christians to office because they understand these things. We have been given the custodialship of a nation and a republic. And a Christian cannot sit it out. You're to vote even in, hello, I'm coming from California. Everything we vote for from a Christian worldview gets defeated. But we keep voting the right way, doing the right thing. You want to know why? I'm not doing it for any political party. I'm doing it because I want to be faithful to God. I'm going to do the right thing no matter who says what.
Yes, and how blessed are we to be in the time where things are going to be exciting, they're going to be turbulent, right? And finally, Jack, just 1 minute remaining here, one email that we'll get, and just because I've had a break, someone says, how can Jack be so certain that this is the end times? I don't know if you're saying that, Jack. You're looking at the signs, but you also say the hour.
Okay, well, that's about that. So that was about the rapture and on the Charlie Kirk show. This is the first time I've ever listened to Charlie Kirk at all, this video right here. And this likely will be the last of it, unless when he gets my book, he wants to interview me. And would I go out on a show? Yeah, of course I would. But it is unlikely that that would ever happen. It's because he's under the spell. But I guess God could break the spell. So anyway, I will send the book. I will try. And hopefully Charlie Kirk is a man who can think for himself and doesn't need... what's his name? Jack Hibbs residing in his brain. Okay. And I'm still waiting for a reply from Jack Hibbs. I wrote him a real nice letter and I sent him a copy of my Secrets of the Rapture. I said, Jack, I've heard your challenges. These are the real challenges you'll find in this book. Please rebut or conform. I expect your reply. Yes, either rebut or conform. And That's his reasonable duty, is to rebut. I mean, if I'm a Christian brother, if I'm a brother in Christ to him, and he thinks I'm wrong, then he should rebut me. And if I'm right, then he should conform to the truth. What say you guys? Okay, let's see. What's going on in the chat rooms here, if I'm missing anything. I see you return the chat. Oh, is Whack? Oh, Wacky Artist. Oh, good to see Wacky Artist. I don't know if that's the other Wacky in the chat room that I used to know, but thanks for joining us. I see you return to the chat listening, Wacky. So good to see some people here I haven't seen in a while. Who else have we got? Warrior of God, thank you for showing up. Don't know you. Part of the rapture deception, Jesus to take away this Holy Spirit, then to pour it out on the 144,000. Yeah, the part that the restrainer that'll be taken out of the way is the Holy Spirit. It is a total invention. There's nothing in the text to support it. Another addition to the scripture. The Holy Spirit, thank God, is not being taken out of the way. Because if we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, well, I guess that's why they say, but if there's going to be, you know, tribulation saints like he's talking about, don't they have the Holy Spirit? So, yeah, there's it's very conflicting, and they never like to look at the things that are conflicting. They just kind of gloss over them and change the subject to something else, anything else, because they have, like, you know, 99 talking points that are true to every false talking point. So all they got to do is revert to speaking things that are true. And I guess, you know, that's a very satanic tactic, because that's what Satan does. He doesn't just come out and say, well, everything he says is a lie. He speaks a lot of truth, but it's truth mixed with lies. It's the Caesars and the Dukes. Well, it was Imperial Rome that was taken out of the way so that the Antichrist could usurp his position as Pontifex Maximus over the Roman Empire. And speaking of, yeah, the Pauline text there. Well, let me get rid of these faces. Indeed. Okay, oh, what else did we have? Oh, we're running out of time. There was something, and I did have to pull that video out, cut it out. There was the thing on my summary charts in the year 2055, and I made this chart in 2015, because that's what it says at the bottom of the chart, and I guess I need to get it up there where you can actually see it. Come on, squish up there. There it is right there. 2015 equals 5960. So in 2015, when I made this chart, there was 40 years left. Well, now it's 2024 going on 2025, 30 years left. And my friend WW, who's often in the chat room, says, well, the Geneva Bible endnotes say that it's 2025. So I looked into it. I studied into the endnotes, and I found that I was in agreement with them on everything, except they were calculating to the date of Jesus' birth 20 years earlier. That's how they got 2055. But then when I looked in the, not in the endnotes, but in the notes in Daniel 9, 70 weeks prophecy notes, they pointed at the baptism of Jesus as the end of the 69th week. So in one place, they got the 69th week ended at his birth, which would make it 30 years earlier, but we know that didn't happen because Jesus would have had to been crucified 3.5 years after he was born. But we know it was after 3.5 years after he appeared as both Messiah and Prince, because that's what the prophecy says. It says unto Messiah and Prince. So the Geneva Bible confirms, and I hadn't seen it before, so it came before me, but I finally found out it does confirm exactly to the same year as my Bible-derived summary chart here that you see on the screen. And this is from my posting. If you go to my homepage there, and you'll see in the upper right-hand corner of my homepage, as soon as it loads, right there where it says, what year is it, right here. Where you see the save flashing there. That's it. Okay. So if you click on that post, it'll bring up my calculations going through the Bible, the what year is it posting. It gives you all of the scriptural verses. And so the Geneva Bible people that put the notes in there came up with the exact same date as I did, to the year. And that is the only one I ever found that came up with the exact same date so far. And I just discovered that, even though it was there all the time, I hadn't looked at the Geneva notes. But they did get it wrong in the back of their book, where they have the supputation of the years, and they went to his birth instead of to his appearance as both Messiah and Prince. And after all, we do know that the Daniel prophecy, or the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandments commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So the 69 weeks ends where it says unto Messiah the Prince, and we know that it was at Jordan River baptism that Jesus was
was publicly announced as both Messiah and Prince. We know he was born Prince, the Son of God. And that God said, the voice of the Father spoke at his baptism and said, they heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my Son. So that's an announcement that he is the Prince. And he did not qualify until he was of age, 30 years old, to fill the high priest position by the law. And that's why he was not announced until he was 30 years old. And that is also recorded in the Gospels for us by Luke. So God put, you know, it was God that inspired Luke to write that in there, that Jesus was in his 30th year when he went to the Jordan River baptism and he was announced as both Messiah and Prince for the first time publicly to the world. So that's when the 69 weeks ended and the 70th week began. So, my chronology, please check it out. One more confirmation. And like I said, all of the scripture references are there. You can follow the years of the chronology from the Bible up until the time of Christ. And they did use the 70 weeks prophecy. They're the only ones I found who use the same use the 70 weeks prophecy in the same way to get to the unto Messiah the Prince. And use it in that chronology to count the years, and they came to the exact number of years that I came to. Okay? So, that's it there, and then that chart is there in it. But, so that confirms that the work I did and finished 10 years ago, practically, well, actually, it was earlier than that. I just updated all the charts and brought everything up, the culmination of all that work that I took me years to get it to that point there, 2015. So it was correct and confirmed by the Geneva Bible editors, too. So they came to the same thing. So make sure you take advantage of that, understand it, it's all there. And then from the Rome, that's the Bible-derived era, brings you up to Christ using the 69 weeks prophecy. And then the Roman era, we just go jump to the Roman calendation from there on. And I have a couple sections there on the different calendars, and one on the Roman calendar, because a lot of people question the Roman calendar, but it's there are several checks on it that prove its accuracy, and I cover those briefly in the same posting there. So if you want to know that. So we're looking at about the year 2055. No, the return of Christ is not imminent. If the rapture were true, it would be imminent. But the rapture is not true, so therefore it is not imminent. Okay? Will the world be taken by... yes, because they don't believe. They don't believe in Christ. They don't want to believe in Christ. So, of course, they're going to be taken as if by a thief in the night. But not his people are not going to be taken as if a thief in the night. Let's see. There are some videos where Charlie quotes and says certain things about the church building an earthly kingdom here, which is what the NAR and Seven Mountain Mandate wants. As Christians, we know better. I agree. The New Apostolic Reformation. That's the NAR. I know about that false movement. Have you read the book, The Prophetic Harmony, The Lamp of God? No, I haven't even never heard of it. Does that have to do with the NAR and that Seven Mountain Mandate thing? Yeah, these people are delusional too. Yeah, they believe that God needs them and their new apostles, the New Apostolic Reformation. They are the new apostles. And they have new revelation, where I believe the revelation is closed. Nothing is missing from the Bible, not even the last 2,000 years. That's another thing that is problematic about the whole dispensational futurist pre-trib rapture resurrection thing, is that that God somehow left out nearly 2,000 years out of the Bible, after including everything from Genesis to Jesus, then he leaves out nearly 2,000 years and jumps to the end.
Yeah, that's not acceptable. Absolutely not acceptable. My God didn't know. They're saying that God, I guess, didn't know about that 2,000 years. That 2,000 years, that was unimportant to him. All those people that lived then, when he said, must shortly come to pass, you know, those second century believers getting the revelation reading, must shortly come to pass, and placing themselves where they found themselves in the timeline of prophecy and the revelation. They were all wrong. It wasn't about them. Had nothing to do with them or with anyone in Christian history for 2,000 years. That's what they're saying. See, Darkie just says, if you could fix the Skype and callability as well, it might be. Well, my Skype is not broke, and I am still on there, and anybody can find me, but I don't know. Do I have Skype up right now? The phone line works great. You heard it. So anybody can call. If you want to be a guest, I'll have you on Skype. But we're gonna know what we're talking about before line. Or if someone wants a co-host with me for a segment or something, that would be great too. Yeah, I'd be willing to try that out. We're always looking for new talent for First Amendment Radio, but it has to be. I'm not going to have any false prophets on here. teaching, yeah, false prophecy. Okay, here we go. Another number. Your name and where you're calling from? We have about 1 minute. Okay, well, this is an unknown number. I didn't see that. So I won't be accepting unknown numbers. Yeah, it says 8.5 cents per minute. Somebody's paying to do this? Wow. Send me the money instead. Yeah. Oh, end call. Yeah. Unknown numbers. Yes, I will reject unknown numbers if I notice that I moved too fast on that one. But as I said, coming near the end of the call. And so Guy Fawkes thwarts me again. Yes, he actually got me to answer. Tricky little devil. yeah. Let's see. Guy Fawkes with the last minute call once more. Well, Jesus is God and the papacy is the Antichrist. Yes. Okay, well, I don't know why it's not working. You can't call me? Okay, well, anyway, I'm out of time. Try calling me tonight on my broadcast, and we'll see if you can get on. Not tonight. I likely won't go live tonight, but tomorrow night. But this is the end. Yes, it is the very end of the show today. I thank everybody for showing up. I really do appreciate each and every one of you. I love you all, and I want to see you all in the kingdom. But if we should meet before then, that would be great too. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.